Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our message comes from Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. We pray. Lord God, we are in a world that often chooses death rather than life. In a world that is blinded to what is really life. So, Lord, we pray that you would reveal again to us the life that is only found in you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and redeemer. Amen. So, as we said before, the point of this is that we would choose life because Jesus has chosen us as his people. That is the point of our text today. We have to ask the question, what is life? Ever just thought about that question? People go about it in different ways. Sometimes they never actually maybe have something written down, but the way we live our life reveals to us how we answer that question. Might be some people the pursuit of money, pursuit of happiness, of pleasure, just having fun. You only live once, so just have fun. Might be to be successful, might be to have the job you always wanted or the family you've always wanted, to get married, to have kids, and then have them have kids, and hopefully they are successful. Maybe to be as popular as you can be. Maybe to do as good as you can and what you can do. But in our reading from Deuteronomy, it makes it very clear where life is found. Moses lays it out that here it is. Here's life and the good. Literally in the Hebrew, the life and the good, and here is the death and the evil. Then he goes on to describe what that is. Life is found in obeying the commandments of the Lord, loving the Lord, walking in his ways, and keeping his commandments and statutes. Death is found when the heart turns away and does not hear the Lord, and instead worships other gods and serves them. Loving the Lord leads to abundance and blessing, inheritance of the promised land, while disobeying the Lord leads to perishing, God's wrath. So we see even in the Old Testament that God defines life in following his commandments, in knowing him as the Lord and as the Savior. As we know in John, Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Literally in John 17:3, it says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, God the Father, and me, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." But it's really easy to be blinded and to be deceived by what is life. We looked at our lives, would we say that this is really our goal in life, to follow God's word, to follow his commandments? Or would it be something else that takes precedence? Moses here is coming to the end of his sermon in Deuteronomy. It's right, his final words he's given to the people of Israel before they cross into the promised land, before they go into the land that God promised them to possess. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years, trying to get there, really because of their disobedience, that it's taken so long. And so he's not going to be able to go with them into the promised land, so he's giving them those final words of encouragement, so that they at least have that while they're in there. And so what he's telling them is what is most important to his own heart. that they would love the Lord and cling to Him and hold fast to Him. So when they do that, everything else would fall into place. But as we look at this text and start to understand what it means to choose life, it's helpful maybe to understand what it's not saying. This text is not saying that somehow we have the power and our own reason or will to be able to choose God, to be able to believe in God on our own strength. Because as we know, this isn't just said to a people that is some random crowd of people. This is said to the people of Israel, people that were God's people, people that God redeemed, had delivered from Israel, from Egypt, right? From slavery. 400 years in slavery with a mighty hand parting the Red Sea, drowning Pharaoh and his armies. Miraculous display of plagues and deliverance. And that a people that God made his own possession already. These are a people that was already in relationship with God. So what Moses is doing is not telling him to choose God because you're unbelievers. He's saying, continue in the life that God has already given to you. So we say we choose to follow our life in Jesus because God has chosen us. Not because we somehow can on our own. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit that will last. John 15:16. Even our Lutheran confessions talk about the free will that we have, that literally we don't have free will when it comes to choosing God in relationship with God. But we do have free will in our day-to-day life and our relationships with others. We can choose if we're going to eat pizza for dinner, we can choose what we're going to watch, we can choose who we hang out with, we can choose how we spend our time. But when it comes to God, we can't choose Him because Scriptures tell us that we are blind, we are dead, we are God's enemies. What we want to choose is death. What we want to choose something other than the life that God really gives to us. We see this even with the nation of Israel. They were God's people, yet they often chose death instead of life. Eventually, they did perish as a nation. They were sent into exile. And it's only the grace of God that they have endured to this day. And that we are here today. And so it's important to know that as God's people, we don't just sit back and let life happen. For even to do that would be a choice, would it not? So it's ridiculous to say that we never make choices as people. We know that we make choices every day, even if we don't think about it, right? We made a choice whether or not to come to worship today, right? You could have slept in, you could have instantly thought about all the things that are more important, supposedly, right, than hearing God's word. Make a choice right now if you hear this word and whether or not you'll take it to heart, whether or not you think it's important. Those choices that we have every day. So it's ridiculous to say that we can't choose. We know the choices that we make every day. But will you make those choices with purpose, with intention, of following and loving the Lord? Or will you just go along with the crowd and with the culture? Well, we remember that God has chosen us. Because He's chosen us, He's given us our identity. He's given us our meaning in life. He's created us, He's wired us to serve Him. To love Him. That's why we're here. That's why it only makes sense. That's why it's only life when we love the Lord and do what He's created us to do. When we have that relationship with the Lord. So that's why, as God's people who have been saved by grace and delivered from slavery to sin and death and the devil, we do care about our choices that we make in everyday life. This is why Jesus would say things like, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Or if your eye causes you to sin, take it out and throw it away. I'm not hoping that you all come next Sunday with a cast in your hand like Chuck does. But it's not really the point, right? But Jesus is saying, what's most important to your life, right? Obviously, if someone said, I want to cut your hand off, I would say, I don't think so. I kind of like my hand. But if you get sick and your hand gets infected and poisoned and the doctor says, well, the only way to save your life is to cut off or amputate your hand, what are you going to do? Probably say, yeah, I got to do it, right? Cut it off. So it's the same way. It seems kind of ridiculous, but when we compare it in the light of our very life, the choice becomes simpler. So what Jesus is saying is, don't let anything in your life, if it's causing you to stumble, don't keep it in your life. If there's someone that you're hanging out with that's causing you to stumble, maybe you need to stop hanging out with them. If it's leading you astray, if it's leading you away from me, away from my word, cut it off. It's like if you're trying to be sober, don't keep alcohol in the fridge, right? If you're trying to live a pure life, don't keep the dirty pictures on your computer or on your phone. We're only kidding ourselves. He just teaches us to take sin seriously because it's important to us to continue in the life that God has given to us already. And we see this even in the Corinthians, right? Last week, Paul talked about how great it was that the mysteries of God and salvation were revealed to them, and that God had given them every spiritual gift that they needed, right? But now he kind of humbles them and says, well, listen, in actuality, you're only infants in the faith. You're not mature that you thought you were, right? So I couldn't give you a solid food. I couldn't give you the mature teaching, because you weren't ready for it. And it's possible for us, too, to be deceived on how mature we really are in the faith, because that's what the blindness of our sin does to us. It blinds us into thinking what life really is, so we can think, oh, as long as we're really wealthy, or if I'm feeling good, then I'm really also spiritually mature. But as Paul says, this is not always the case. So the only way for us to be undeceived is for us to be in the Word. Right? We can feel good. Sometimes it might mean we're doing good. Sometimes it might mean we're disobeying God. Feels good to sin sometimes. As God tells us in 1 Corinthians and Matthew and Deuteronomy, key to knowing our spiritual health is to be in His Word. That's the only way we can know. And so we do take seriously those choices that we make every day. We know that it's possible sometimes, too, to treat kind of faith like a life insurance policy, right? It's something you need when you die. So it's kind of like, well, I want to believe in Jesus so that I'll go to heaven when I die. And what we miss is the ongoing purpose of why God gave us that life. Life isn't just something that we get when we die. No. Jesus brought us in. He made us His own. He redeemed us. He rescued us so that we could live under Him. So that we would know that life, the abundance, that fruit, even now, as His people. Even now, as we go through pain, as we go through sickness, as we go through death of those we know, as we go through trials in life, even now, that we would have joy because we are God's people. Because it's not found in how much pain we have in our life, but rather in knowing the Lord and that He loves us, has redeemed us. For this is what Jesus did. He chose life even when we were choosing death. Even after the nation of Israel chose death, Jesus became that nation of Israel, known as Israel reduced to one, scriptures talk about. He became that perfect obedience that His people never could fulfill, that we constantly fell short of. He fulfilled all that perfectly obedience to God, loving Him with all of His heart, soul, and mind. And then becoming that curse for us on the cross. As it says in Deuteronomy, that to disobey the Lord would lead to a curse and to death. And this is what Jesus took upon Himself when He went to the cross. Also says in Deuteronomy that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. This is what Paul quoted to describe the death that Jesus went through. So literally He takes the curse, the punishment that we deserve for the law that was broken. He takes it on Himself when He goes to the cross. So now no longer we have the curse. No, we have the life that He has. We have the forgiveness. We have the eternal union with God. Because He became the curse so that we would have the life. So we don't make the goal of our life to be as good as those around us, or to try to justify the minimum that we would need to do. We make the goal of our life to love the Lord, to follow Him. It's really that simple. We overcomplicate it, don't we? And we fall into trouble simply when we refuse to hear the Lord, when we refuse to listen, right? Isn't it that simple? And how we come back is we go back to the Word and we confess. And we return to that identity that Jesus has given to us already. The identity of forgiveness and a new creation that He gave to us through the waters of holy baptism. Promise that will endure until the day of our death. The promise that told us from the beginning where life is really found and who gave it to us. So we might be frustrated with our failures in life and our constant struggle to choose death over life. But remember as Christians that we have eternal life. And that we have hope in our struggles with sin. We have hope in our choices that we seem to continually make poorly. There is hope. Because there is the Spirit of God in us who gives us the strength. There is Jesus who has set us free from the power of sin and gives us the power to walk with Him, to live under grace. There's a poem called I think it's called There's a Hole in My Sidewalk. It's by Portia Nelson. Have you heard of this poem? And heard of it until I was studying this. But it basically gives a picture of a person walking down the street. And it's 5 days. Right? So day one, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk and I fall in. I am lost and I'm helpless. It isn't my fault. Takes forever to find a way out. Day two, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. Takes a long time still to get out. Day three, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in, it's a habit, but my eyes are open. I know where I am, and it is my fault. I get out immediately. Day four, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk, and I walk around it. Day five, I walk down another street. Isn't it that simple? But it gives us a picture of the power of living a new life in Jesus Christ. That we're not a slave to make the same sinful choices over and over. Your destiny is not to be overcome by your sinful habits or the pain and the guilt of the past. No. It's to be set free. To know who you truly are in Christ, and by that to have the power to choose life. To choose a new beginning. And a new path that walks with the Lord and knows the joy of living in Him. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus. Amen.